Jesus, and we pray.
Wonderful.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again this morning to be in
Amen.
Your presence, Lord. I want to thank you, Father God, for giving us this opportunity.
Amen.
Lord God, before that great day, we meet again here.
Amen.
Father God, a fellowship around the world.
Thank you,
Father
Jesus.
God, and
Hallelujah.
Enjoy, Father, the anointing of your Spirit
Amen.
And the guidance, Father God,
Glory
of your love
Jesus.
In our lives.
Amen.
I want to thank you for this fellowship. Father God, indeed, be with you. Also, my Lord, Lord, to speak to your people. I
Amen.
Pray, Father God, that
you
may help us, Father, anoint your word.
Amen.
And Lord God, anoint our hearts, Father, as we receive it, that we may be in that true fellowship,
Amen.
Lord,
yes, Lord,
of your word and Lord God, your spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
I commit this time in your hands, Father, for your glory.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen.
Thank you,
you may be seated. Amen. It's nice to be back.
Amen.
Fellowship again. In quite some time. But the Lord has granted me again this opportunity. Brother Tui invited me to Fiji, and I've been there for the past week. We have had a wonderful time, a wonderful week of services and fellowship. They are just a nice group there, and they really kept me well and good.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. The brother Tui, this church, this family, they are all sending their greetings. They really appreciate what the Lord has been doing to them over the years since they were enlightened to the word and put on the foundation. They really appreciate the apostolic ministry that grounded them in the light of God's word. So you just pray for them and remember them, that the Lord may keep adding to them and strengthening them and making them grow in the light of the word of God. I thank God to see you all. I can see some old faces. We're still holding on to the word of God.
Amen.
It's nice to stay put. Amen. As Brother Gunn was saying, yes, we are coming to the time whereby we just don't live by just talk or just association, but I believe as we are coming to perfection, it has to take really us that we don't live outside ourselves.
Amen.
And the word does not live outside us, but we be the true expression of the reality of God. Because as Christ is coming down, you know, it has always been the case when God is about to do something, although it's something that has been in the books or in the among the people, it doesn't necessarily take just because it's written there or it's prophesied. But every time God has ever done anything, he has to bring, he had a people who were influenced not only by something theoretical or something that has been told them, but it was the direct inspiration of the Spirit of God for the event of the hour.
Right.
It was so with even Moses. For those 400 years, they knew that they had been in the land of Egypt in bondage, but God had promised them that he would bring them out. They had all the evidence. They had the coffin there with the bones of Joseph, but that did not move them. until the Bible says it was by faith that the parents of Moses hid him for those 3 months. It says it was by faith. And faith is not something that we have heard about. The Bible says faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. So it took the Spirit of God to inspire, because the time was at hand. And even Moses, as much as he was told about his birth and whatever had gone, it says when he was 40, then he forsook Egypt. Not necessarily because of the hardness or the hardships that his people were going through, but the Bible says because he saw Christ. So he had to take that direct anointing.
Right.
Because the promise of God, which was spoken by the Spirit of God, cannot just be interpreted or fulfilled carnally.
Right.
It has to be God himself. So was it in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was just about to come, it was the Spirit of God that was upon people like Anna, Elizabeth, Zechariah. It just showed them and motivated them to look and desire the thing that God was doing in that particular time. So we believe that as we are nearing the coming of the Lord, it's no longer just because, you know, like I was just hearing somebody say, the Bible is written in the Bible, the prophet spoke it, I believe it. I don't believe it. It just has to be that only. Because faith, it says, is the substance. Faith is the revelation. So it's not just by accepting it, but by getting the understanding of what God is doing. Amen.
Amen.
So we thank God that you are living in that age where Christ is to come to take his bride. And as it has been spoken, many shall fall from the faith. But during that time also, those who are chosen will be brought into that perfection.
Amen.
So that we can be together with the Lord. So we believe the grace of God is granted to us that what we need to come to that state where we can be blended together with eternity.
Amen.
It must be that we have to grow into that which makes us to be able to be blended into immortality.
Amen.
We cannot just be fleshly, we cannot just be carnally minded, we cannot just be, you know, just like the world, simply because we have got the knowledge of the coming of the Lord, we have got the knowledge of this and knowledge of that.
Mm-hmm.
That really cannot make us to go in.
Mm-hmm.
We must be blended into that.
Right.
That we may be ready for the coming of the Lord. And I want to thank God that he has granted us the opportunity and even the means by which we can come into that.
Mm-hmm.
As Paul says, we have been given the gift of God, which is his fivefold ministry, to perfect the saints. So, as we are receiving, eating on the word of God, I believe by the same spirit and anointing of God, will be brought into that perfection. And it is God who is working with us, working in us, working through us to accomplish that which he desired.
Amen. Right.
And we believe we are here as a body, that God through us and us through the Spirit will accomplish that which God purpose for us.
Amen.
Now we just want to share a little thought as we read from the book of Peter, it must be the second letter of Peter, chapter 1, we read these three verses, verse 5, 6, and 7. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. May the Lord bless the reading of His word.
Amen.
I just want to share with you what here the scripture is admonishing us to be. It says we should add to our faith virtue, and then we keep on adding. And I want to believe this adding is the progressing of the church, the progressing of the individual, the progressing of God's purpose. And we must acknowledge this, that God is life. It is not just an accumulation of dead substance which can be accumulated into some form, but God always deals with us in life because He is life. When He spoke in Genesis, He said, "Let there be light." And when there was light, then God proclaimed life upon the earth. Mm-hmm. And God always works in life.
Right.
That's why when Jesus was here, He said, "You have heard, you have seen it in the scripture, that God is the God of the living. For He says He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, mm-hmm. and the God of Jacob." So if God is the God of the living, and He Himself is living, He deals with His own in life.
Amen.
Outside life, God cannot deal with us.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Bible here tells us to grow into these things, He is actually, it's actually showing us that it is the life of God which starts there from this base of faith. When we have faith, we grow. Like Paul says, we are growing from glory to glory.
Amen.
And Habakkuk said, "The just shall live by faith."
Mm-hmm.
So when we are introduced, or when it is revealed to us, this faith, it is by the same faith that we live.
Right.
So when we live, we bear now the fruits of the life that is in us. And He says, if there is that true faith in us, it will bring forth a virtue. It will bring forth all these virtues. Now, we may not have time to speak about all of them in particular. That is faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and godliness. But I just want to share with you here, as we see, in verse 6 it says, when you have the knowledge, it takes us to temperance, to patience,
mm-hmm.
and godliness.
Mm-hmm.
You can see, this is the perfecting of the mind, the perfecting of the soul, the perfecting of the church as a body.
Mm-hmm.
We are growing into something that is taking us to that form of God. Because it says here, then we go into godliness. And to godliness, there is brotherly kindness, which is kept by agape love, which is God's own love. So you can see, as we go to that perfection, we are also being more perfected. That's why I believe this now, if we have this, remember, all these virtues are grounded
on faith. So it is faith that is the foundation. So from this foundation grows all these things until it brings us to that perfect faith, that rapturing faith, so that we can be taken to be with God.
Amen.
So we are being built into that acceptable condition whereby God will come and take his bride. Amen. So this is in actual life, in the individual and in the church, and universally,
Amen.
The bride of Jesus Christ. So I just want to speak on this brotherly kindness, which is after godliness. So this is not a carnal thing. This is not something that is imparted on us because we read here, or we were taught there, or we were given that. But it is something that is coming from the very life of God. There has been put in you, put in us, that godliness. And it brings us into brotherly kindness. Amen. Now, when we come to that brotherly kindness, now it's not something that you have on your own. This is something that brings you into fellowship. You cannot show brotherly kindness to yourself. Brotherly kindness should be shown to somebody.
Right.
So it brings us to that essence of fellowship. We have been brought together. We have been we are being wound and knitted together for a purpose of God. So this brotherly kindness brings us into fellowship.
Right.
It's something that can only be imparted when we are coming together in true fellowship. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look in the book of Psalms 55. I just want to read verse 12 through 14. For it was not an enemy that approached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and walked into the house of God in company. Now, when we look at this brotherly kindness and harmony and love among the believers, then comes here where David says, if I was grieved by an enemy, if I was grieved by somebody who is just from the outside there, at least I would have taken it. But now, it's he who I fellowship together with. Now, in this situation, God does not break his word. We are not alienated from the fact that we must have that brotherly kindness.
Amen.
So, you see, this should not be an excuse that this is somebody who believes the word, this is somebody who believes the message, this is somebody who does this, or whom I'm acquainted with in the faith. But sometimes God lets it to be that way. It's for a purpose.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But why do such things happen? Why am I grieved by somebody who is supposed to be my encouragement? Why am I drawn down by somebody who should be lifting me up? But all the same, as I said, it is not by system, it's not by denomination, it's not by a kind of teaching that we are molded into this life of God. It is by the very life of God. That's how he deals with us. And he brings us into situations. He brings us into circumstances that may baffle our mind.
Right.
We cannot understand why this. How can this be? But in all things, the feet of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. God will never make a mistake in your life. God will never mislead you. And God will never frustrate you.
Amen.
If you really commit yourself to Him. But it comes such times like David was crying here. Why should it be me? Why should it be by this one? Why should it be by this one? At least if it was just maybe a layman. At least it was just maybe a brother. But why the pastor himself? Why the deacon? Why an elder? Why? And why me? You know, we've got all these why. But remember, our lives are ordered of God. And God is working something in us through life.
Amen.
Amen. So, why should we have this brotherly kindness and this brotherly love? It's in the second book of Timothy. If we look in chapter 2, let's just read verse maybe 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, there is a stage that can be set in life whereby the devil can take advantage of a person at will. Whenever he wants. Whichever way he wants to do it. He can just take a life and do with it what he wants. Be it to destabilize the faith of others, be it to disturb somebody not to walk in the light. So here it says now, Paul says, we must then be in meekness, instruct those who oppose us.
Mm-hmm.
Now here we are fighting. Against you know, somebody who is opposing, throwing missiles. Just imagine, here is somebody throwing missiles, and there must be a defense. You know, like you know, in the military, you should have a defense system, whereby you know, in olden days. You had to have a defense system. Long back, they used to use stones. Throw stones at one another, fighting. And you just get a shield. That's the defense system. And then they developed into spears, arrows. You still have that as defense system. But then when they invented the gunpowder, you can't bring that now. You've got to devise something again that can counter. Now they are no longer using men even on the ground to shoot. It's just somebody there. He's just there with his computer and everything. He just throws a missile 3,000 kilometers. A target is not even seen. But those over the other side must have also a defense system whereby they can intercept that missile before it hits the target. You see. So you cannot intercept a missile with something that is not stronger than the missile.
Right.
You see? You cannot throw paper up there to intercept a warhead.
Right.
You see? So you must take something that is strong. Yet here God is saying, if those who are opposing us, with all that vigor, with all that power of Satan, it says we should now, in meekness, win them back. Like the testimony we just heard. How somebody was frustrated, he's there, you know, he's just thinking, you hurt me, you are not for me, you are not. And then just in meekness and prayer, bring him back to the understanding of the purpose of God in his life.
Amen.
That's brotherly kindness.
Amen.
Amen. is that meek spirit. For the purpose of brotherly kindness is for us to have this forbearance. Amen. Remember, we have already been equipped with that patience. We have been given that temperance. Can you see? Temperance, patience, is only the groundwork for this now brotherly kindness. It's not just to be kind for the purpose of being kind. It says it's forbearance so that somebody can be saved. Somebody can come into the light. Somebody who is now sort of giving up can be encouraged by that brotherly kindness. Amen. Why does then God want us to have this in our midst? And remember, things happen not outside, but in our midst.
Right.
When the devil wants to cause problems, he doesn't do it from outside. It is from inside.
Yes, right.
Amen. No. So does it mean my brother is the devil because he has done this to me or done that to me? No, it's all for a purpose. Amen.
Amen.
You may not know. You know, that's the only way he can be brought to a reality.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Peter? When Jesus asked him for a boat, and there Jesus was expounding on the word of God, preaching the word of God, teaching the people, until the people, you know, they were just, you know, overwhelmed by the teaching of the Lord. But what was Peter doing? He was busy washing his nets. And then the Lord turned to him. He said, throw your net on this side. He says, we've been here all night and we cannot get anything now because the time for us to catch fish, you know, in this way is over. But well, according to your word, I'll do it. And then when he did it, he caught all those fishes. He came back to the Lord and says, Lord, I'm a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what he should have done when Jesus was preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see? But it never touched him. But God knew he had a way to bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
You get the point?
Yes.
So, it is God's doing. It is God's work. It is God's spirit. For if we are alert of the Lord, surely we will not be distracted from the point or from the target of our calling. Because it is God who is working in us. And it has to be through that way for you to come to what God needs you to be. You know, sometimes you've got to go through some hardships, you've got to go through sickness, you've got to go through, you know, many other things which you may think, why me? But little do you know that somebody is being encouraged by what you're going through. If this sister can endure in such circumstances, then I believe I can also. You are an encouragement to somebody. But to yourself, it is maybe burdensome, it may be painful, it may be discouraging. But somebody is being encouraged. Brotherly kindness is something that flows out of you for the benefit of the other. It's something that will bring someone to the realities of the living God. Why? Because Paul says, I think in Colossians, in the book of Colossians, it must be chapter 3, right, verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Amen.
Amen. You see, brotherly kindness, you know, we are co-workers with Christ. We are here to accomplish, we are here to be ambassadors of Christ. We are here to be co-workers with Christ. We have been given even the ministry of reconciliation. So because we are that, here Paul says now, we are going to put on all that meekness, all that kindness, all that, so that it can now be the ingredients whereby we have true brotherly kindness. It's not just said you should have kindness, but it is brotherly kindness. It is something more than what kindness is, as the world, as the world's perspective. We know there's the World Vision. We know there's Christian Care. All these organizations, they are there to be kind to people.
Right.
We've got charity organizations. We've got the Lion Club. Or, is that what they call it? You see, these charity organizations, they can do charity work. They can do all that kindness work. But God is desiring a kindness which is above all that.
All right.
Brotherly kindness. Uh-huh. Amen. For the purpose of bringing one into the realities of God. And then one day you will meet him in glory.
Amen.
Amen. You remember Brother Brown when he had that vision? He says he saw those souls out there. And they said, we are here because of you. You are the one who encouraged me. You are the one who showed me the truth. So there must be that day when we get up there, when I can say, surely say, it was through your kindness that I made it.
Amen.
Amen. You know what Moses did? God says, now, it's enough. I will destroy all these people. And Moses, I'll bring up a new nation with you. Moses had to fall in the breach. He says, no, take me, not them. Amen.
Amen.
And whoever made it to the promised land, he could surely come back and say, it was Moses.
Amen.
Had he not given himself, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
You see. So it just takes that for God to work with us. Because, you know, we are not a people who are just, you know, guided by ethics and that and that. We are people who are led of the Spirit of God.
Praise the Lord.
And Amen. By God to achieve the purpose of God.
Right.
So brotherly kindness is not just doing good. Mm-hmm. As much as anybody else can do good.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes further than that.
Amen.
It is God who is bringing his own. And he does it by life.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, you know, when he was here on earth, he was the true expression of God's kindness. You know, because of the life he lived. You remember in John chapter 17, he says, I sanctify myself for them.
Mm-hmm.
Not for himself. As much as if I live a holy life, as if I live a sanctified life, sure, it is good for me. But it's not only for my own good. I go beyond that. Jesus Christ, he could have just been good as he was. But he says, I'm sanctifying myself for them.
Amen.
That was God's love being expressed.
Right.
And God had to do it through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For in the book of Hebrews, he says, he did not come to help angels, but he came to help the children of Abraham.
Amen.
He partook of flesh and blood. So that he can be like us. He was tempted. And he overcame. Not for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, when we are tempted, we can also be helped.
Mm-hmm.
You see. So God brings you into a situation just to perfect you. For the perfecting of others.
Right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You see. Because you are looking to somebody and saying, oh, if only I could be like him. Somebody is looking to you and say, oh, if I can only be like you. You see? So you don't judge yourself by what you think you are. But by this commitment and total surrender to God, whereby God can work through us to bring about what he purposed for his church. Surely, I want to believe you are not here just for yourself.
No.
You are here for somebody.
Amen.
Amen. That's brotherly kindness.
Amen.
You remember the prodigal son. He came to his father. Just imagine, there were only two of them. And the father, you know, he was banking on them. You know, if the Lord was telling about that example to the people in Israel, they are of Asian orientation, and you know, like also back home in our home in Africa, you know, we treasure the family union and the relationship. We don't just have to forget about the others who are in the family circle. We are bound by that. So I want to believe the father, when he was doing all what he was doing, it was for his two boys. They were going to inherit everything that he was working for. So one day, the young one just comes and says, no, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go. Give me what is mine and I go. I don't believe that the father just got the word and then just gave him. He must have persuaded him, advised him, counseled him, but the boy says, no, I must go. Against the will of his father, against the advice of his father, against the counsel of his father, he went. And when the father remained, he was not frustrated to the point whereby he just says, now what am I waiting for? I better just waste everything. Because this boy has done me that harm. And then one day, when the young man was there, he thought of home. Amen. He says, I'll go back. Now, the father, he had to remain there. You know, when the boy came back, he was given clothing. That means there was clothing ready for him. He was there was a fattened calf. He did not stop his business of preparing for good times. He was expecting that. And the thing I want us to put across to you is, when the boy decided to come out of his predicament, he thought of home. He says, because in my father's house, there are servants there who have good food, a good place to sleep. How did he know? Maybe he was reading in the paper. He was looking there at the stock exchange. He could see, oh, his father still invested there. He could look at the company, summaries they were doing. He could see. And maybe he was using WhatsApp again to some of the servants there, saying, how is it nowadays? He says, now the cattle are 25 now. You know, the chicken are doing well. What's happening? He has a swipe with us to connect back home. But one good thing is, when he thought of going back, going to, coming into the good life he knew, there was a place ready to receive him.
Amen.
Whatever goes wrong, or whatever predicament comes upon anyone here, may it be that
Amen.
There will be a place where he can come back to and give his life back to God. So your staying in the world, your staying in place, is creating that environment. It's creating that whereby somebody, I don't care, he can be lost for 10 years, but whenever he thinks of, I must come back to God, there must be a place.
Amen. Where he can come.
Right.
And a people ready to receive him.
Amen.
That's blood and kindness. That will save the soul. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what this is to us. Amen. Because, you know, like Brother Branham says, you know, when his ministry, for it to progress or for it to be of effect, he says it was because of love. When he preached that in, I think, that 11th commandment or divine love, he gave the example of that Mexican. The old man came there, he was in tatters. Brother says, I even pulled him to me so that I can see if my shoulders and his shoulders, he could fit my jacket, so his shoulders were broader. He even put his foot against his foot to see if he can give him his shoe, but his foot was bigger. He says, I felt for him. If you read it, Brother Bam never prayed. He just looked at the man. He says, I entered into his suffering. And I said, if my dad was alive, he could be this age. So he entered into his suffering. And then the next thing, he was just hearing the man shouting, Gloria a Dios. He was even startled. What has happened? He has received his sight. So it's something that comes out of you. It's something that is not just, you know, forced on you, but it's that kindness, it's that love of God, it's that life emanating from you, you know, going out so that one
Amen.
Can come to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
One can see the light.
Amen.
Amen. So it is that kindness. Because after that kindness, Paul says, above all this, let's put the bond of charity. And what is charity? Is there, that is the servant for completion in the stature of perfection. Charity is completion. So that love of God can only come and kept where there is that brotherly kindness. Amen.
Amen.
Because, you know, when Jesus came, he came to show the kindness of God and the love of God. But he was not loved. He was not accepted. It was sort of, he was rejected. But if he had not been rejected, they would not have taken him to the cross. If he would not have been taken to the cross, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
You see? So you see, even when he was born, there was this problem. Joseph had to take Mary to Nazareth, to Bethlehem. When they got there, there was no welcome. There was no house. There was no hotel. There was no lodge. All the lodges were full. And the only place he could go, they could go, was in that cattle pen. But why the cattle pen? Because he was the Lamb of God.
Amen.
He had to be born there. They did not have to make up.
No.
You say, okay, the lodge here is there's place in the lodge, there's place in that house, there's place there. But you know what? The scripture says he is the Lamb. So let's find a crawl somewhere. It not happen that way.
Right.
Situation, difficult situation that will force them to go into there. Why did Joseph have to take Mary, who was just expecting? He could have said, okay, I'll go alone. Mary, remain here with your mom or somebody to take care of you when you give birth. But the law was hard. You must go. You see? But why? So that he can be born in Bethlehem, according to the scripture. So when the scripture is fulfilled on us, you know, it is not all that joy and everything. See, you know, we are the bride. You know, the scripture here. Here you see here the revelation. You see here the revelation. Things can be so abnormal.
Yes.
But that will be to fulfill the purpose of God in our life.
Amen.
So, whatever happens or goes on, God has given us this brotherly kindness. And Jesus said in the book of Luke,
You should not just do it to those who will pay you back.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it to somebody whom you even know cannot even pay you back. It's not for this earthly reward, but it is for the cause of God. Let us look at Abraham in chapter 14 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 14. We'll read verse 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young man have eaten, and the portion of the man which went with me, Anah, Ashur, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Abraham had gone out to fight against these five kings who had overtaken and overwhelmed Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was not a military man, and he took his servants, those who were trained in his house. What were they trained for? They were not being trained to fight a war. They were herdsmen. They were shepherds. So they at least have some knowledge of this, how to fight and defend the cattle when these cattle raiders come. So it was not for, you know, conventional war. So he took this, and some of those who worked in the field, some who swept in the tent, he just took them and said, let's go. For what? To rescue Lot. But when he went there, he did not only rescue Lot, but he brought back even all the goods. But he was not distracted from the purpose of his going. It was for his brother. Irrespective of that, he was given also the goods. When the king of Sodom said, now you can take all the goods, he says, no, when I left home, it was not for this, it was for my brother. And because he was, so focused on that purpose, on that, what God had inspired him to do. But that's the thing that will build us and mold us into what we should be. We should not be overtaken by circumstances that come along the way, but be motivated by the original commission, the purpose of God. So Abraham said, no, I'll not take it. So okay, they gave him, he gave all the things back to the king of Sodom. But because he did that, then he met Melchizedek. And the Bible says, Melchizedek is the prince of the Most High God.
Amen.
Can you see? What is the work of the priest? It's reconciliation. It's brotherly kindness. Because he had shown this brotherly kindness in this realm, he met now the very king of that brotherly kindness. The very priest, the priest of God, Melchizedek. And he was given the opportunity to give him the tithe. Amen. And Paul in the book of Hebrews, he says, because Abraham did that, Levi, who was in the loins of Abraham when he did that, was also, it was also imputed on him that he had also given tithe. Can you see? And who is Levi? Levi is the priest. God chose Levi because Levi did this while he was still in Abraham. And why did Abraham do it? Because he had gone on a mission. A mission for what? A priestly job.
Amen.
To bring back a fallen brother. So it was now given through the life of Abraham. It was now, it came into Levi. And Levi was made the priest. And the priest's job is to offer sacrifices for the fallen. Offer sacrifices for those who have backslidden. Can you see that? And out of Levi, if you can see in the Bible, most of the prophets, they all came from the house of Levi. Ezekiel was son of a priest. John the Baptist was son of a priest. You see? Moses was of the house of Levi. You can see all these prophets. Why? Because now, the ministry of the prophets, which came from Abraham when he gave the tithes and he met Melchizedek, that's why it was imputed on Levi. And because Levi is that, has got that priestly life. Let's see, Peter says, First Peter, the ministry of the prophets. In First Peter, chapter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did magnify, signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which they are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now you can see the ministry of the prophets. When the prophets were there, it says they were desiring to see the accomplishment of what the Spirit of God was signifying in themselves. They were looking for that reality. They were looking for that perfection, whereby the saints of God will come to God in that holy state. That's what they were looking for. And they knew they were not living for themselves. Just imagine. They had to live a holy life. They had to worship God. They had to face all these difficulties, knowing it's not for themselves. Just imagine. How much do we do knowing it's not for us? Let's just look at the percentage of the things that we do, knowing I'm doing this, but it's not for me. Yes, you may be a doctor. You are treating a person. But you know, I expect that at the end of the month, your paycheck. But the people say, oh, he's a very good doctor, you know. He takes all the care. Yes, takes all the care, but for the patient.
Yes, sir.
You can be a teacher, very good one. Sit down with those children, instruct them, but let the government not pay you. You'll throw down the chalk. We do good. I know. But for what? You see? And these prophets, whatever they were doing, they knew it was not for themselves. But they persevered. Amen. Daniel, when he was thrown into the lion's den, he knew it was not for himself. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into that fire, they knew it was not for themselves. Moses, when he brought the people out of Egypt, he put his life into it. He put everything in it. Yet he said, the Lord your God will raise a prophet like unto me. He knew he was not the real thing. He knew that Christ would come. He is only a shadow. When he built the tabernacle, he knew it was not the correct thing. He knew it was not the absolute.
Right.
He knew this only represented the true body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can you see? So whatever he was doing there, he was not doing it in totality. In that, this is the thing. That's the ministry of the prophets. And the ministry of the priests. Peter says, now we are the royal priesthood. We are not a people, but now we are a people, even a peculiar people. We are brought to like living stones, that we may be built into that spiritual house, What was the spiritual house for? It was for the sinner to come in and offer the sacrifice and be accepted.
Amen.
So you are that house.
Right.
So that somebody can come in. That's the priestly office, which is brotherly kindness.
Amen.
Amen. So that somebody out there in the storms can see the light, take hope, and direct his ship to the shore.
Amen.
Amen. That's brotherly kindness. The priestly office.
Amen.
Amen. It brings the reality of God. It brings the sweetness of fellowship. It brings the life of God in us. That we won't just be a group of people who are just trained by a common belief, or who are here because of some common denomination. We have been taken far beyond that. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe let's take one or two examples before we close. Let's just look at Genesis chapter 37. We'll read verse 15 through 17. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Amen. Now, Joseph was sent of the father. Go and see the welfare of your brothers and bring them some food. That was the word of the father. And the father told him to go to a particular place. He says, your brothers are feeding the sheep in that place. Go there. So Joseph, when he went to that place, he did not find them. You know, it was good sense. If Joseph had said, "Well, I've come to the place, I can't find them, so I'll go back to dad and tell him they are not there." And the father could have sent maybe servants who are of that military style to go and look for the brothers. But Joseph was not just looking for them. He says, "I'm seeking my brothers." He was not just going to a place to look. He was there to seek. And the Bible says, "Seek and ye shall find." Seek ye the kingdom of God. He's not just looking for it. He's seeking it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Joseph did. He was looking to the end that he accomplishes the purpose of his going out. And he was seeking them. He found them not. Until a man saw him wandering in the field. It was not a matter of a day that this man just saw Joseph going this way. And then he saw him coming back. You could have said, "Okay, this young man was going there, now he's going back." But he was there, you saw him first day going around. Maybe the second day going this way. Until the man could perceive this young man is looking for something. He says, "What are you looking for? I see you are wandering in here." He says, "I'm seeking my brethren." He said, "Okay. I heard them say they are going to Dothan." And then he went there.
Mm-hmm.
And he found them. Amen.
Amen.
When he found them, he gave them the visuals. He gave them what the father had given. And what did they say? "There come the dreamer. Now we are going to fix him up." They take him, they sell him away. But he had gone there seeking his brothers. That was his life. It was not a profession. It was not just fulfilling an errand. It was not just fulfilling a duty. It was his life.
Mm.
That was Joseph.
Right.
He sought his brothers by life. Amen.
Amen.
Because we find out in chapter 45, is it? Chapter 45 of the same book, Genesis. Chapter 45. Verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Amen. I think you can read the rest when you get time. Now, here is Joseph. He was hated by his brothers. Of course, he was loved of the father.
Right.
And yet, he sought for them. He cared for them when they were in the field there. He went to give them whatever was needful for them. And then they took him, sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold him to Egypt. And now when he was in Egypt, God raised him up. And he was now Lord over all Egypt. And one day he sees his brothers coming. Amen. Now, they buy food. He puts their money back in the sacks. They find out, this man has given us back our money. We are now in trouble. They went back and says, okay. Not only that, when they came again, he put even his cup in there. So they were worried. What's going to be of us now? This man, what he's doing to us, we don't even understand. But then it came a day when he could hold it no longer. He revealed himself to them. He says, I am Joseph. And they were troubled. We are the ones who sold Joseph and lied to the father that is dead. Now he's this great man. He's going to kill us all. He says, no. Come near. You sold me, but if you see what the scripture says, okay, let's just look at the scripture, what it says. Verse 5. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life.
Yes.
You sold me, but God sent me. How did God send Joseph? By his brothers sending him. So the brothers were looking and saying, we sold him. But Joseph was saying, no, he did not sell me. God sent me. You see? So sometimes things happen, brothers and sisters, in the life that we live. And we think, is this brother who is doing this? How is this one doing this? But it is God who is nurturing you, who is bringing you to a point whereby you can be of good use in his hand. Amen. Joseph could have rightly said, oh, you know what? I'm here, you sold me, you know. But if you had not sold me, I would have been suffering together with you there in Canaan. But because you sold me, now I'm king of Egypt. The generals are saluting me. Everybody here, when I walk, they just fall down on the ground. You know, because of you, you sold me. You see? So the bad that they did to him was for his own good. So why should we not accept what God lets come through our way? If it's for the benefit of my brother and my sister. You see, that is brotherly kindness. It's not something that is just done. It's something that is of God. It's something that is through life. It's something that is, you know, revealed and manifested through your life for the purpose of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's why Jesus Christ said, I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. How could that commandment be new when Moses said it? Thou shalt love your neighbor. It's there enshrined in the law. But Jesus says it's a new commandment. It's not by persuasion. It's not just by enactment. It is by life. You don't love because this is the law. You love because you have the life, the anointing. And true love is not, you know, what people think it to be. True love is for a purpose. Just imagine, God can do anything.
Right.
There's nothing impossible with Him, isn't it? God can just come down on earth and say, you, worship me. Mm-hmm. The sun was given an order to shine. It will never go against that order. What of the birds that fly? You know, back home we've got birds that migrate, you know.
Yes.
When it's winter in Europe, they come to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
When it's winter in Africa, they go to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody teaches them. It's just God who enshrined in them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
God could have done the same to you.
Like the
white stock bird, you just migrate to church. You go there, and then when it's time, you just feel I must go to church. You go to church. You could have done that,
mm-hmm.
but God never used that.
Right.
I was just watching on the news about this storm that is there in Haiti and that west coast of America. You know, that wind is just forcing everything to go the way the wind wants to go. God could have used that to push you to church. And you find yourself by power of hurricane, you are there. You see? But God used love.
Amen.
Why did He have to love? When He can do it. If He just wants people to go to church, it's no problem. He can cause them to go. But He didn't do that on you. So when we are called, we are not just here to be a bunch of people who are doing this by law, this by order, this by denomination. That's not the purpose of God in our life.
Mm-hmm.
It's for that life to be lived. It's for that expression of God to be through us and by us. And that means that is God.
Amen.
Praise be to God. We thank God for His grace. We thank God for His love.
Amen.
When Moses was building the temple, the tabernacle, it was good. Solomon came and he built the temple. But God says, I don't dwell in these things made of men's hands.
Right.
But the temple was good. The glory of God could come down in the temple. The glory of God came down on the tabernacle.
Right.
But He says, I don't dwell in these things.
Amen.
And He prepared Himself a body. Yes, the law is there, but God does not dwell in the law.
Mm.
Precepts are there, but God does not dwell in those orders, do's and don'ts.
Mm.
He dwells in a body. He dwells in you to show forth His kindness. He dwells in you to show forth His love, to show forth His holiness. Can you see? He could not maintain His holiness in that tabernacle, neither in that temple, magnificent as it was. It could not match the glory of God. It had to be you.
Right.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
Brotherly kindness. Paul says in the book of Galatians, if one is overtaken by a fault, let those who are spiritual bring him out. But fearing for themselves that they may be overtaken also by the same thing.
Right.
So, why do you live a victorious life? Why do you live a life that is victorious over sin, so that you cannot be overtaken by sin? So that if somebody is overtaken, you are the right person, the eligible person to bring him out.
Right.
So you are not living for yourself. You are living because there's a brother. You are living because there's someone who needs you. When the need arises. Brotherly kindness.
Amen.
It must ever be abiding in us. And John says, that which we heard in the beginning, the message that we heard in the beginning, that God is life. That which we saw, that which we handled, that which we heard, which was manifested to us, the word of God, is the same message that we are giving to you. So we were given not something that was just lectured or taught or things like that. It was something that was manifested. The love of God was so manifested. The kindness of God was so vindicated that John and the rest of them had to take this message. He said, this is now what the church needs. So that which we heard, that which we saw, that which we handled, now we are bringing to you that we may have fellowship. So our fellowship is the result of what these prophets and what these apostles saw, which is the manifestation of the life, the goodness, and the love of God. So they don't bring themselves. Like Paul says, we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Amen. So whatever God is that which He revealed and manifested through the life of these prophets and the apostles. And now they bring it to us that we may have fellowship. And because we have that fellowship, we are now perfected. We will be perfected. Like Paul says now, we are not all hands, we are not all finger, we are not all nose, we are not all eye, we are not all foot. But together, we are bound together so that we can perform the duties of the body.
Amen.
And when the duty of the body is performed, then we come to appreciate our legs. We'll appreciate our eyes.
Amen.
We'll appreciate whatever may seem little or of no significance. But when the body is accomplished the purpose, we really appreciate.
Amen.
Amen. Like the brother was saying, his wife was taken to the hospital for the first time to get a blood test. Then he can really appreciate how the Lord has kept him. They kept the wife, and how, you know, the love of God was just caring. You know, sometimes we've got to go through these things so that we can appreciate.
Amen.
Amen. And I would think Sister Joyce then can appreciate Brother Henry for taking her to hospital. Amen. You know, that's why we come through some of these things. That's why God does these things with us and through us for His own glory. May God bless you.
Wait a minute, don't go away. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
I want to say something. You talk about love. I find a fault with you. The first time when I went in Zimbabwe, he puts me in the room that has a big spider all hanging all over the place. What are you trying to do? God bless you, brother. Well, you know, things happened for good to them that love the Lord. I really appreciate Brother James over the years for the ministry. And, God has opened, you know, an outreach through him, through Brother James, Brother Nice, Brother Andrew Peary, and even Brother Shagra in India now, and for the work we were doing. You know, now when we talk about kindness of God, I say it's not just kindness, but brotherly kindness. And when you talk about brotherly kindness, it's not just giving you a pat on the back. You know, it's telling you the truth to help you understand things. You know, now the verse that he used, I just want to mention something about the verse. If you will go to the book of Timothy, the last verse in chapter 2. Give you some enlightening here about the way it is translated. Alright? Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and you have verse 26. And it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his rule. Now, if you read it like this, you'll be thinking that the people, the person, this individual, people, these individual ones, that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil who are taken by him. These people are taken by Satan, right? He snared them, made captive by the devil, right? And the last part here is that, and his will, it seems that it is referring to the devil's will. You are becoming captive by his will, by the devil's will. You understand what I'm saying? But actually here it says that you are taken captive by him at your own will, rather. You understand? Him here is it's not the devil, but by you at the devil's desire. Oh no, sorry, the word him is his will is not the devil's will, the person's own will. That's what I'm trying to say. You see, the devil's desire, of course, is always being an adversary of God, and he's trying to destroy God's word. But he can never, never, at his own will, take you. Alright? His desire is to destroy God's word. He cannot even take Job, though he wanted it, he never could, unless God gave the permission in his God's own testing. But sometimes it is not God's will to let you be, to allow you to be tested by the devil. Sometimes it is your own will. You just let yourself go and you fall into the hands of the devil. Yes, the Bible in many places mentioned that.
That's right.
Do not fall into the hands of the devil. In all these adversaries. Sometimes we just surrender, we don't fight him. That's how Paul said, fight a good fight. Run the race. Put on your armor of God and everything, right? To fight against the devil. The devil cannot just take you. He only takes you when you let your will, you surrender and give it to yourself to him, and he takes you. You see? And that's why when we talk about faith and salvation, people think that, I have Jesus, I believe, and I'm going to heaven. I have salvation. And they leave it at that, and then never fight a good fight. And they think they're just going to make it in, because a lot of people are not really Christians. Like as the Bible tells us, we already know, not all Israel are Israel. So not all Christians are Christian. That is true. You have the tares, you have the foolish virgin, and they are the ones that are the real wise virgins that make herself ready. Not the tares couldn't do anything, because the tares are always tares. They are not wheat in the first place to begin with. And the foolish virgin, they just got themselves into trouble. As the song used to say, wasted years, wasted years. How foolish. And many Christians are just like that. You fall into the snare of the devil, and you just instead, don't examine yourself, and you lose the battle, and the devil gets you, and you spend, like Brother Jim said, maybe 10 years before you come back. What about those 10 years? You wasted those 10 years. As a Christian living the life of God, you lost it. You see? And how about Paul said about building your foundation? Whether it be a gold, silver, jewels, and whatever, and everyone will be tested by fire. I mean, if your foundation is built on haze and all this other stuff, of course it'll be burned up, but yet so your soul will still be saved. That is true. See? Alright? So we thank God for the message, and shall we